According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself, and there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only a million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8, England 1.6, Greece 1.3, Germany 1.3, Italy 1.2, Spain 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim. And in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's 1 out of 5 Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated 1/3 of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away. The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe, without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 of those immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world. This is a call to action.
Wow. All right, that's just the warm-up. It's going to get better. Sammy Tanago is here to share with us, and he's going to tell you all about how that happened. That wasn't an accident. The Lord had things set up. You want to come up, Sammy, and I'll pray for you? All right. Lord, I just thank you so much for our brother Sammy and the things that you've done in his life, the things that you're going to use him to do. And Lord, as we see how we can help, we pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts, Lord, to have a vision for your love for the lost. And I pray you'd fill him with your spirit and empower him, Lord, to speak forth your truth and to encourage us, Lord, in you. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you, Pastor Bob.
You're up. You get turned on there.
Hello, everybody. It's a joy to be here with you today. Love Pastor Bud. He's so kind to me. Has everybody got one of these? If you don't, raise your hand quickly. We don't have much time, and the ushers will give it to you. Just raise your hand. You got one? Okay. Take a few, yeah. Thank you. Okay, so today, it is not Bible study business as usual. Today, I'm going to share with you a message I believe 100% God put on my heart. And I'm going to give you what God gave me so both of us can take action, more actions, which is evangelizing more people and evangelizing Muslims and sending people to heaven. Before we go there, so the first point in the message, Muslims are growing very rapidly all over the world. Every four persons living in the world today, one of them is a Muslim. Muslim population doubles every 20 years. In America, we have about 18 million Muslims at least. How do I know that? From experience. I live in Orange County, California. We have about 500,000 Muslims. How do I know that? Every time I go out, I meet Muslims. Los Angeles, next to me, at least 800,000 Muslims. I go to Muslim festivals. I train believers. I take them with me, sometimes pastors, and we rent a table in big Muslim festivals in Phoenix, Orange County, Dearborn, Michigan. I put thousands of materials. Last time in Dearborn, Michigan, a crowd of at least 40,000 Muslims passed by the table in 3 days period, and we attempted to give them our materials. I wrote a book, The Church Jesus Effectively with Muslims. We give it to them in Arabic, and we give them CDs and DVDs. And the believers in Dearborn, Michigan, told me that we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan. So I'm showing you the Muslims, people are growing very rapidly in America. I go to Calvary Chapel, Fremont. Pastor Tim Brown support our ministry financially, and we record satellite programs so we can reach big numbers of Muslims. And he told me we have about 40,000 Afghani Muslims in Fremont, California alone. Now, most of these Muslims in America and all over the world don't understand what we talk about in the Bible. Muslims say, you Christians say Jesus is the Son of God. The Quran told us, how can God have a son if he doesn't have a wife? And you say God loves his son. You expect us to believe that? If you are a father, you saw a bunch of criminals killing your child, wouldn't you go to rescue him? Don't you love your child? That's what a good, loving Heavenly Father would have done if Jesus is his son. In other ways, since they were children, Muslims are taught certain way. They received certain logic, specific reasons to believe Islam is from God. Christianity doesn't even make sense. The Bible must have been corrupted. They never been exposed the reasons, the logic behind the Christian faith, the evidence, never been communicated to most of the Muslim people effectively. And when I say effectively, you will agree with me, it has to be in a way that they understand. Because communication happens not only in the words of the speaker, but also, most importantly, in the understanding of the listener. I know that very well. Changing my culture from Egyptian, Middle Eastern culture, when I first came to America, Orange County, for a few years, I had a culture shock. I'll give you an example. I used to be very lonely, and I would go to church, and then I see a beautiful American girl worshiping Jesus a few times a week, and then I see her again and again, and I say, wow, she's so cute. So I go to her, I tell her, my name is Sami Tanago, I'm from Egypt. Nice to meet you. Usually look at me suspiciously and say, what's up? Nothing. I just want to get your parents' phone number. My parents, why? Because my parents are coming. I want my parents to call your parents. What for? To be honest with you, you are beautiful and I like you. And you love Jesus. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe we can talk and pray with our families. Maybe it's God's will. We get married. Married! This is the first time I see you. I told her, no, I saw you many times before. Please give me your parents' phone number. This is very good. She said, no, this is kind of weird. No, I'm not weird. I am normal. And the more I push for family and marriage, the more I am rejected. You laugh, but I was hurt so many times. And I always wondered why. I have pure motives. I have great sense of humor. I look good. Hey, trust me, 30 years ago, I looked really hot. Now I'm getting old, you know. To me, this is the most honorable way to approach a girl. And this still is. The family has to be involved. To her, this is the most uncool, ridiculous way that any man can insist on approaching her. So I discovered I got rejected simply for miscommunicating. And God spoke to me long time ago and told me, Sammy, if you want to be used to bring many people to Christ, especially fulfill your calling with Muslims, you need to start praying and open your mind and let me teach you how to answer their questions, how to penetrate their heart, engage their feeling, using illustrations, parables, stories, because they are emotional people. And actually, God taught me so many things. I had to write a book. God taught me a way to use their objections as a stepping stone to the gospel. I'll give you an example. We ask Muslims, Abraham. Muslims are commanded to follow the faith of Abraham, and Muhammad is commanded to follow Abraham's lifestyle, and the Muslim will say he was an example of the true religion to come and the true believer. And we tell them, well, Abraham one day was taking his son in one hand and a knife to butcher him with the other. And God told us, do not kill. And Muslims will agree with you that if Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son for God, then he proved his perfect sacrificial love for God. And we tell Muslims that is exactly what God wants us to discover. Romans 5:8, God manifested, demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And we can go on and on and on why God asked Abraham to sacrifice, give him his son. Why not sacrifice your hard-earned money or your sheep or your land? Because God knows it was a test. If Abraham was willing to give him his son, then he proved beyond any doubt that he is willing and ready to give him everything and anything he has. And we tell Muslim, wow, that is exactly what God wants you to discover. God did not stand by watching his son being murdered. God actually gave his son for us. Romans 8:32 tells us about God. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up, gave him for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? We tell Muslims, the moment we put our faith in Jesus and we experience the forgiveness of our sins and the guilt was removed, and we became a children of God at this moment, and now we know that God is willing and ready and will give us the best life we can ever have on earth, and he is preparing eternity full of joy for us. And he's going to actually share his kingdom and glory with us because he gave us his son. So now we are not ignoring their objections. We are using their objection as a stepping stone to the gospel to make a far more powerful presentation of Jesus than any normal presentation would have achieved, ignoring their beliefs. We connect with their beliefs, with their culture. Their heart is open. Their mind is open. Boom! We share the gospel. The word of God falls on good ground. Now, why this is important? It's important for many reasons. One of them, Matthew 13, Jesus gave a parable that some seed fell on the lives of people that did not understand. And it was easy for the wicked one to snatch away the seed that was sown in their lives. So God wants us to use our minds and to help people understand the good news of his love and salvation. Now, why this is also important? Because most of the Christians in the world, especially America, have no idea about sharing Jesus effectively with Muslims or answering their questions. It's very complicated. I don't have time to talk about this issue, but let me give you an idea about something that is going on. I got an email from one of the big Southern Baptist director. He oversees a few states, ethnic ministry, Spanish ministry. And, I gave him everything God gave me. And he said, most Christians respond to Muslims in either one of two ways. One, they keep a distance from them because they feel inadequate to witness to them. They don't know how. Or two, they keep them at arm's length out of suspicion, fear, or anger. Aha! So from talking to pastors and believers, I discovered that Satan used 9/11 terrorist attack. American people killed. Satan used war between Americans and Muslims, Iraq, Afghanistan, American soldiers killed. All of us pray for the American government, pray for the American soldiers. We are commanded. And Satan used Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And the most of us, all the Christian leaders almost, are pro-Israel 100%. Satan used our love for America and support for Israel, and he penetrated our hearts and minds, and he put negative feelings and thoughts toward the Muslims. He's so clever, deceiver. He knew, he knows that we always want to share Jesus with somebody that we love. But our enemies, they can go to hell. And that is exactly what Satan managed to achieve. The church leaders in America, pastors, evangelistic ministries, big and small, spend billions of dollars every year, and they don't spend 2% of their budget to communicate Jesus effectively to Muslims who never heard it communicated to them in a way they can understand one time in their lifetime. You know, if we have a few churches supporting our ministry, we can use satellite to communicate Jesus to 200 million Muslims. Okay, that's an example. But very few pastors are willing to invest. Now, this is the first point. Growing needs, and very few believers or churches are willing to invest to meet these needs. Okay. What is the second point? The second point is God's heart and mind. And the story starts from Genesis 12. God chose Abraham, and God told Abraham, I will bless you, and through you, underline the word all. And God is telling us the same thing. I chose you, and I bless you. We can mention a couple of things quickly. God put us in the greatest country in the world, America, the best. God guided us to a genuine Christian movement, Calvary Chapel. We are not perfect, but we repent when we sin. We want to depend on God and do God's will. For you, God gave you awesome pastor, Pastor Sam Allen, one of wonderful pastors. God gave you awesome staff here, Pastor Bud, Pastor Dick, I spent the night with him and Connie, and awesome people and wonderful worship. Pastor Rob doing the worship. You know, I can see Jesus through Pastor Rob's eyes. I mean, I met so many wonderful people in the church here. Jeannie, Priscilla, so many wonderful people. Life is tough, problems sometimes, suffering sometimes. God said, okay, I will live within you, unite myself to you, so you don't have to face a difficult moment alone. We have a sinful nature. We fall short. We sin sometimes. God said, I forgive all of your sins. You are going to live a guilt-free life. Before you say sorry, you are forgiven because I know your heart. You don't want to sin again. Life is short. God gave us eternal life. I mean, God solved our biggest problems. You know how short life is? It can end just like that. Boom, over. And if it didn't end like that, give it 15 more years. Half of us here will be either old and sick or dead. And the other half, most of them, will be old and sick, and they will die soon also. This is the good news I came to share with you. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. You imagine that God gave us eternal life to share his kingdom and glory and promised to reward us for any action we took because we love him. God is telling all of us, I chose you because I love you personally. This is very personal. But don't ever forget, I have big plans to guide you and use your life as a blessing to as many families as you let me. You want to know one of the most important secrets of the happy, successful Christian life that I experience? The more we cooperate with God and tell him, okay, I agree. bless me, guide me, help me to walk with you, and use me as a blessing, the more God's going to bless you. Why? Because this is his plan, is to find somebody, to find a group of people to bless and be willing to be used as a blessing. Now, don't forget, in Genesis 17, God promised Abraham to bless Ishmael. Ishmael is the physical and the spiritual ancestor to the Muslim people. They came from Ishmael. When God gave circumcision as the sign of the covenant to Abraham, Abraham and Ishmael were circumcised together. The Bible records God was with Ishmael as he grew up. And Genesis 16, God promised Hagar to multiply her descendants exceedingly. Hagar was called Abraham's wife one time in the Bible. Genesis 16:11, God himself named Hagar's unborn son Ishmael, which means God hears. The same verse, God heard Hagar's affliction. Genesis 21, God heard Ishmael crying. And God wants us to hear the cry of Muslims. Do they cry or do they cry? Let me give you two evidence. You've seen what's happening in the past few years in the Muslim world. Millions of Muslims are fighting each other, hating each other, killing each other, and they are discovering that the Muslim family is dysfunctional, criminal family. Many parts of it are very bad, bad feelings and bad actions. They discover that their Muslim leaders are bad leaders, suppressing them, denying them human rights, lying to them, corrupt. And most of the Muslim people right now, they have sincere questions about what life is all about, where is the truth, and they have questions that need answers, and they are looking for good leaders who believe in good principles, and they are looking for a loving family. Two, evidence, most of the Muslim people are like Cornelius. You remember Cornelius? In the Bible, book of Acts, he was neither a Jew nor born again Christian, but he was a man who believed in God and tried to do good works. And the Bible records the alms of Cornelius were accepted. Wow! God was looking at Cornelius' attitude and the spirit, and he's trying to have a good conscience, to follow a good conscience and please the Creator. And God was saying, I am impressed. I accept what you are doing for me. Even though he did not know who God is, but he was trying according to the light he has. And God told Peter, Peter, go tell Cornelius about Jesus. But before God can use Peter, God needed to help Peter overcome his prejudice against God-fearing men from a different background and different color skin. And that's what God's trying to do with the church in America, for example. Trying to make the church in America go to Muslims, take actions, and love them like you love the European and the blue eyes and blonde hair, the beautiful, and like you love the Jews, and like you love the Israelis. And tell them about Jesus. It's that simple. You remember in Genesis 21, when Hagar and Ishmael were dying from thirst, what happened? God intervened, told Hagar, do not be afraid. I hear the Ishmael crying. Lift up Ishmael by the hand. I will make into him a great nation. Wow! You know, this story proves that Ishmael's birth was not just merely a mistake, simply a mistake Abraham did. You would agree with me, if it were just a mistake, God could have let them die. Somebody agree? Thank you. Make me feel better. When God intervened and said these beautiful words to Hagar and saved their life through a miracle, opened Hagar's eyes, she saw a well of water. Aha, God proved that he has a special love for Ishmael and the marvelous plans from his birth and the birth of his children. First Chronicles, chapter 1. 1,000 years after Ishmael's death, 1,000 years later, His name and his first two sons' names, remember these two names, Kedar and Nebaioth, were carefully recorded in the genealogies of the holy texts. Isaiah 21 tells us that the Arab people came from Kedar. Muhammad came from Kedar. Isaiah 60, a significant prophecy, God said, all Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offering on my altar. You know, when I read these words, I start jumping in my home, and I shared them with my wife, and I start searching the Christian commentaries. I discover something extremely significant. I discover that the time God gave these words to Prophet Isaiah and told him to say these words, Kedar and Nebaioth already had been dead 1,000 years ago. Clearly, God was not referring to Kedar and Nebaioth, but he was referring to, thank you, their children, their descendants. Let me give you a personal testimony. About 5 years ago, one day, God spoke to me and my wife very clearly and said, stop trying to do the ministry by yourself. You are not going to be able to reach many Muslims. You need to start a non-profit ministry, Glad News for Muslims, and take this ministry to my church. I will open the door. I will give you the message and the materials. And I want you to do two things. One, motivate, equip my church to witness effectively to Muslims. Two, invite the pastors and the believers to help you, to pray for you, to help you technically, to financially support your ministry. So instead of you reaching a few Muslims every month, you can reach hundreds with more help, thousands, and then millions. That's what's about to happen now. And we asked ourselves, which Bible verse are we going to put on our letterhead? Immediately, God gave us John 10:16. Jesus said, I have other sheep are not of this sheepfold. I must also bring them. They will also listen to my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. You know, if I have money to buy time in Christian radio in America now, I will go into as many Christian radio stations as possible, and I will share this message lots of times to tell the American people that multitudes of these sheep are the descendants of Kedar and Nebaioth. Arabs and Muslims will be gathered with their families. They will be saved in the day of the harvest. Jeremiah 49. God said Iranian Muslims will come to Christ. You know, I spent $10,000 to translate my book to Farsi and print it. Why? Because God is going to save Iranian Muslims, and he is waiting for people to take actions. Isaiah 19:21, God will save lots of Muslims, millions in Egypt. Actually, he already saved 4 million Muslims in Egypt, and he is using the Muslim Brotherhood president and Muslim Brotherhood government now to convince millions of Muslims that Islam is not good teaching, and to cause millions of Christians to unite, repent, and put their faith in God alone. Praise the Lord for the Muslim Brotherhood. Isaiah 19:25, God said, blessed be Egypt, my people, your people. That's what God said, my people. Assyria, the work of my hand, Israel, my inheritance. Arab people were evangelized, and people in heaven will come from all over the world. Muslims are growing all over the world. Prophecies, they will come to Christ. Conclusion, multitudes of Muslims will be in heaven. You know, I have to mention here, God can get the job done. He doesn't need us. But if we cooperate with us, he will use us, because he knows that makes our life interesting, and that qualifies us to get the most reward possible in heaven. But God can do it by himself, using visions, dreams, using circumstances, the Holy Spirit. God can raise somebody from nowhere. You know, God can do it. Now, let me give you more evidence that God is working to attract Muslims to Jesus. Do you remember the Passion of Christ movie? You remember before the movie was released, a big rumor got out there. The movie is anti-Semitic. And the Jewish leaders protested, no, we don't want that movie. No, no, no. Because it shows that the Jews crucified Jesus. Now, you and I know the reason Jesus was crucified was not the Jews. This is the fulfillment of the prophecies. God is a just judge. He must punish the sinner or he will not be just. And the consequences of sin is death, naturally, separation from God. But because God is love, he decided to take an additional nature, a human nature, and he came to us in the person of Christ as a man. He was able to share our humanity and represent us. On our behalf, Jesus paid the penalty because Jesus was God. His sacrifice was valuable enough to pay the penalty for the sins of humanity committed against Holy God. Jesus was crucified because God wanted to provide a way for you and me, for all people, that through faith in him, we can be united to him and saved from paying the penalty for our sins. However, God used this rumor that the Jews killed Jesus, they are the reason, to do what? To get most of the Muslim leaders very excited about the movie, The Passion of Christ. I am glad you laughed. The first service, nobody laughed. As soon as the movie was released, most of the Muslim leaders bought the movie, put it in their theaters, and they actually told their people, go watch what the bad Jews have done to the good prophet Jesus. I was jumping, of course. You're talking about hundreds of millions of Muslims ran to the theater. And I got a report, give you one example from one of my good missionary friends in the Middle East, been there over 20 years. He told me, Sammy, I could not believe my eyes. I went to 7-8 theaters in a couple of Muslim countries. I saw thousands of Muslims weeping when they saw Jesus crucified. And the talk of Muslim towns for weeks and months, guess about who? You can say Jesus in a church, yeah. The Muslim leader said, enough talk about Jesus. Get the movie out of the theater. Throw it in the garbage. It was too late. They start getting more dreams, more visions, more questions. Remember, Muslims are different in culture than Westerners. The Muslim people are extremely emotional. And the Middle Eastern people, the Egyptian people, I mean, we let emotions and feelings take big part of our lives. But the European, American, Australian, Canadian are not like that. They control their feelings because they focus on achievement and accomplishment. Very smart people, they always want to achieve something. You know, in America, your boss can drink coffee with you and have a nice conversation, and next day you are fired. Where that came from, I don't know. You know, how do I know that happens to me twice? I was doing a good job. Muslims are emotional. So God used the most extreme emotional method, the Passion of Christ, to penetrate and to cause hundreds of millions to feel his love and salvation. God is preparing the Muslim world. I don't have more time to tell you more evidence, but what is the good news? God already started fulfilling the prophecies. How do I know that? I know that from my ministry. Let me give you some evidence. I spoke at Antioch of Calvary Chapel in Philadelphia. Pastor Aaron Campbell, the senior pastor, sent me email immediately, and he said, also, it was amazing to find out that Leo, one of the members of our worship team, actually gave his life to Christ and got saved out of Islam 5 years ago, literally after reading a copy of your book. Also, the Sunday you came to share, a Muslim man by the name of Aaron gave his life to the Lord after hearing you speak as well, Antioch of Calvary Chapel. Obviously, it is not the 1 minute I spoke about Jesus that brought Aaron to Christ. Obviously, God was preparing him, you see? I spoke at Horizon School of Evangelism, Mike McIntosh, big Calvary Chapel Church in San Diego. Pastor Chris Olson invited me to speak 8 hours to answer the Muslim questions and to present Jesus to the School of Ministry students. They invited a Muslim woman Sunday morning. She gave her life to Christ. Chris Olson sent me a letter, told me, thank you. She came to Christ because we went to lunch during the seminar. My church, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, we have a very important pastor. His name is John Schubeck. He was a missionary in Europe. He sent me an email, and he said, we gave your book to a very dedicated Iraqi Muslim lawyer. He read your book. He came to Christ, John Schubeck. Calvary Chapel, Reggie Christ, the secretary, Andrea, sent me an email. She said, good news. My parents bought a truck from a Muslim salesman in 201. They gave him a copy of your book. He came to Christ. Calvary Chapel, San Luis Obispo. We won a Muslim in the university. Calvary Chapel, Chattanooga, Tennessee. After the second service, a Muslim woman was crying, and she ran forward, and she said, who is the pastor? They brought Pastor Frank, and the Pastor Eric sent me email, the mission pastor, and we asked her, how can we pray for you? She said, yes, pray with me. I want to open my heart to Jesus. I know God loves me. Jesus died to pay the penalty for my sins. She became born again. She attended Sunday night seminar. I taught. Actually, Calvary Chapel Chattanooga told me, just because of that, we're going to support your ministry every month. And last year, they sent me email. They said, there is more Muslims came to Christ through the ministry. So I sent them more email. They said, we are doubling the support. Now, I spoke at Calvary Chapel Tallahassee, Florida, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and about 8 months ago. So, in February 2012, I received an email. My name is Malak. I am originally from Lebanon. I came to the States 2007 to finish my study. I am a Muslim. I always been a Muslim. Somebody gave me a copy of your book. Let me say, since I read your book, I fell in love with God. I am happier now than before. I saw and felt what I never seen or felt before, God's love for me. I have a problem. I am falling in love with Jesus. I told her, no problem. Keep praying. Keep reading. Sent me another email, Malak. She said, I am done reading your book. It opened my heart to God in a very beautiful way. I am planning to get an Arabic copy to my parents when I visit Lebanon. I changed the look I look to God changed my life. And then she said, thank you for helping me experience and enjoy God's love and salvation. Actually, I introduced Malak when I went a few months ago to Calvary Chapel Tallahassee, to the Holy Church, and I was so happy to see American people cry. That was very good. You know, one of the few times I am happy to see people cry. I cried myself. Now, Pastor Jack Hibbs is a big church in California. They support a missionary. His name is Joe Carey, who knows another missionary. He wrote me an email. I know Daniel wants you to know your book is being used in Morocco. We try to get the book and the materials overseas. And the Pastor Travis Hunt, who is a mission pastor in a Calvary Chapel, Roseburg Christian Fellowship in Oregon, sent me an email. He said, I am blessed to tell you that I have been using the book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, in North Africa, several closed countries. I want you to know God is using the material to lead people to Christ in these countries. I can assure you that it is very fruitful too. Travis Hunt. Now, I received a very interesting email with Pastor David Witt. Pastor David Witt spoke at Calvary Chapel Fremont about 7 months ago. Pastor Tim Brown told me, and he sent me an email. I tried to give him as many materials as possible, much. He said, I'm glad to share with you wonderful news of your book, Glad News, God Loves You, Muslim Friend, Impacting Lives in North Africa. I am involved with Muslim background believers in Jesus Christ in Northwest Africa. This country is listed 100% Muslims, yet we know of over 1,000 Muslims who have come to Christ in recent years. This April, two workers of Spirit of Martyrdom, that's his ministry, helping persecuted Christians in the Middle East, was able to send an Arabic Glad News book to share with the MBB, Muslim Background Believers, in North Africa, and see if this was a good encouragement to the work in that area. Our MBB contact emailed us saying, this one book traveled the nation, two Muslims accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Now they are requesting 500 books. Now the same pastor, David Waite, sent me an email. He said, your book has made the Mauritanian news. I think the Mauritanian government or newspaper put copies of the book in the newspaper and warned the people of Mauritania not to read this book. Of course, we put the book in the website. We don't sell anything to Muslims or Arabs. I mean, we only take money from Americans. You know, I can keep you the whole day reading your testimony. This, what does this mean? It means God already fulfilling the prophecies. Now, in Egypt alone, about 4 million Muslims came to Christ. One of them is my wife, born and raised as a Muslim, majoring in Islamic study in Islamic University. So she became a Muslim teacher, Arabic teacher. She became born again. She started talking about Jesus. Before they threw her in prison, one of the PhD Muslim professor believed her story, and he started talking to Jesus. He got born again. Actually, in prison, she met 3 ex-Muslims. They decided to pray and sing Christian songs. They attracted the Muslim prisoners. The Muslim prisoners read their names in one of the newspapers that they could be executed. And they asked them, why you are singing? And they told them, don't worry about us. We enjoy God's presence. We have peace. If they killed us, God is going to reward us for sacrificing our lives. But you got problems with the government, and you don't have Jesus. Jesus said, many of the prisoners talked to Jesus, many got born again. You can take a copy of her testimony. Even if you don't have any money, you can take a copy. God is working all over the Muslim world. Why? Because God is love. He loves all people, including Muslims. And God knows that people who do not enjoy a living relationship with Him, His presence, are suffering. And God is longing to enter the lives of as many people, including Muslims, as possible, simply to alleviate their suffering and give them the best life they can ever have on earth. And that's what Jesus said. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly, in spite of the problems and the difficulties and the suffering. A life worth living. And God enjoys His time in heaven more when more people go there. And that's what Jesus said. There is a celebration in heaven when one sinner repents. Thank you. Party time, the angels are dancing. One sinner repented over there. Yes, that's what excites heaven more than anything else. That is the reason God came. You imagine God took additional nature, a human nature, came to us, stripped naked, spit upon, punched, slapped, whipped, mocked, God so suffered. Why? Because He so loved who? Us, wicked humanity. All people. Remember, the greatest commandment in the Bible is to love God with our whole being. And Jesus said, the second greatest commandment in the Bible is, you are right, but we forget a couple of words, is exactly like the first one. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Exactly like means it's equally important because it's exactly like. Why? Because I can't love God in action and to cause celebrations in heaven and to make people benefit from His suffering. I can't satisfy His heart without helping my neighbor to enter into fellowship with God. That's why Jesus said, this is what the Bible is all about. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now we are talking about the last people we meet, our next door neighbor. And I have a challenge, a request. I want to beg you to do something. God inspired me a couple of years ago to write a book to any non-Christian to present his love and Jesus in an attractive, gentle way. So I want you to take a copy of that book and establish a good relationship with one non-Christian person that you feel that God is working with. Manifest God's love in action to one non-Christian person. Give that person the book and invite that person to church. You don't have to pay any money for the book. You can take a free copy of that book as a gift from my financial partner's money. If you promise to invest my financial partner's money in a way that spread the gospel, take a free copy. Take two copies free. It's okay. Okay, now remember, Muslims are our neighbors. According to Disneyland in Orange County, it's a small world after all. Okay, so God wants to save the bad Muslims. Remember, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh. And Jonah told him, Nineveh is wicked people, Ninevites, and they are against your people, Israel. And God said, go to Nineveh. And that was the biggest revival in the Old Testament, among the wicked Ninevites. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. Blame Pastor Bud. Don't blame me. Muslims don't know where they are going. Even Muhammad was scared from hell. They arrived for the gospel. I proved it to you. God told me I want to equip all the churches. Let me tell you my story quickly. I was born and raised in Egypt, practiced law a couple of years in my father's legal firm as a defense lawyer. It was a good job to make money, but not to fulfill my calling. Simply, most of my clients were drug dealers, and all of them were guilty. They were guilty as hell. And my father taught me how to make the guilty innocent. I'm very sorry about that. And my grandfather was a defense lawyer. And God convicted me. God told me, what are you doing? You're lying in court, making the guilty innocent, living to please your father instead of your heavenly father, and building your kingdom instead of building my kingdom. You think you are smart? Where is your grandfather? He's dead. He lost everything. And now you are losing your relationship with me. I can't use you. Do you want to be a loser now and forever? I told God, no. And God said, get out of Egypt before it's too late. I told God, get out of Egypt. Where do I go? And God said, remember Abraham. Got out without knowing where he is going. Remember Moses. Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Preferred to leave Egypt. Suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I said, don't be stupid. Your fun will not last forever. Get out. I got out. Came to America. I started working as a busboy, dishwasher, waiter. Studied English. Went to UCI. Graduated. Studied law. Studied for the California bar exam. Before I passed the bar exam, God brought my wife. She said, stop. I will help you and encourage you to fulfill your calling. God sent me to you. I told God, thank you. But what can I do? I need to use my mind. And God said, okay. And instead of using your mind to get rich, how about if you love me with all your mind and use your experience, your education, your ability to analyze issues, to collect evidence, to collect the facts, to do a research, to prove a case, and I want you to write a book to present Jesus in the most understandable, attractive, convincing, acceptable way to educated Muslim. Josh, can we listen to my pastor testimony, please?
I have a coworker, who I can consider somewhat of a friend, who's a Muslim, and we talk here and there. I'm not as knowledgeable as I should be about the Bible, and I would love to be more knowledgeable and try to help him, you know, because I'm concerned. But it's hard to answer some of his questions concerning the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I would love to know what to do, what kind of format to go through, whether giving him a book. I had given him a Bible, so I don't know. You know, hopefully he still has that in his house.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church.
That's my pastor, Chuck Smith,
who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know. He's very, very versed in the Muslim religion.
That's me.
And he's written a book titled
I'm so excited.
God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. And many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. So I would suggest that if you want to give your friend something that would really help him, because it takes the Muslim beliefs and it sort of takes the Bible and sort of shows comparisons and so forth. And I would highly recommend that you give him this book by Sammy Tanaho on God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
Thank you very much,
and James,
thank
you can call the
Can you get me the PowerPoint, please? Or you are fired. Okay, now, what does that prove to you? What did God show me and showed you? That multitudes of Muslims, lots of Muslims, more than you can ever imagine, in our universities here, all over America, all over Europe, all over the world, in Egypt, are thirsty people drinking from salty water. They don't really believe in Islam. They know the problems, but nobody approached them and nobody answered their questions. And, you know, nobody, how can they believe without hearing? You know, this is the right. Okay, now I have to finish. I have to wrap it up. Actions, actions. Okay, action number one. Take a copy of this message. I'm going to prepare a DVD for you with the Muslim demographic. Give it to a pastor and tell the pastor you need to equip your church to witness effectively to Muslims. Pray for me that God will open for me more doors to go to churches, to equip churches. Why? Because the more churches are equipped, that's why I read these emails to you, the more Muslims come to Christ. Okay? Now, why I am telling you to pray? Because it's going to take God to open a church. Okay? How do I know that? I've been dealing with pastors for 15 years now. I send lots of letters to every pastor. I make many phone calls. Very few pastors, maybe 2%, reply. You know, it took me to send maybe about 8 letters to Pastor Sam Allen, about 20 phone calls. Why do I keep calling? Because Jeannie and Priscilla is so nice to me. They were so nice. They told me, Sammy, no. You are not rejected. No. Pastor Sam is so busy. It's a big church, and he's doing so many things, and I believe them. I told them, but maybe it's enough for me calling. I don't want to bother you. She said, no, keep calling. We're going to get Sam. Don't worry. I keep sending letters. I keep no response. And then, of course, praying. I'm praying. My wife praying. Because most of the church I go to, a small church. And one time I was flying and the sitting, and next to me is an empty seat and the airplane is packed. And Pastor Sam told me, can I sit next to me? I told him, come on here. I know it's going to take God. What's going on? I sent you 10 letters, called you 20 times. And he said, you know something? I'm going to have you come. This is God. And I saw him in the mission conference, Calvary Chapel Mission Conference, and he told me, Sammy, I want you to come. So it's going to take God. So pray for me to go to equip more churches. Now, you need to be equipped. So you have to get a copy of that book, or get a DVD, or get a CD, get something. The book is the best. The book is $15, but because I love Pastor Sam, today only it's $14.95. This is not my fault. I learned that from Christian Americans in Orange County. No, I'll make you a good deal. I'm from the Middle East. I know how to make a deal. A good deal you can never refuse. Pay whatever you want to pay. But get a book, please. I took a lot of money to ship the books and to ship them back. Get a book, pay whatever you want to pay. Actually, take anything you want to take, DVDs, CDs, and write the check to payable to Glad News for Muslims, and write in the memo, what did you take? Because I am accountable to our accounting firm, to the CPA. They are very meticulous. Okay, that's another action. Equip yourself. A book took me 10 years to revise 8 times. It's for you. Pay whatever you want to pay. Okay, that's action number 4. Action number 5. If God is blessing you financially, and if you are able to make one-time donation to Glad News for Muslims, please do. Above your tithing. If God is blessing you financially, and you are able to join my monthly financial partners team, you can fill this form. I have financial partners that donate $10 a month, and I have financial partners that donate $15 or $50, whatever. They are helping me to do everything in the ministry. The ministry is happening not because of me. Now, I have the passion, I have the calling, I have the vision, I have the education, the experience, the evangelistic tool, but who is helping me to develop more evangelistic tool and give them to Muslims? We have the book now in Albanian, in French, in Russian, in Bosnian, in Arabic, in Farsi, in traditional Chinese, simplified Chinese, Spanish, and other languages too. Who is helping me to do that? I just spoke at Calvary Chapel Bible College in Jerusalem last May, and I was invited by Calvary, by Bethlehem Seminary, by the president, and he told me, I invited you to speak and to lunch because you donated a few thousand copies of your book in Arabic, and we gave them to Palestinian Muslims, and we won over 100 Muslims to Christ. Who is helping me to do the ministry? It is Calvary Chapel pastors, 15 of them, and believers. And this way, God is giving equal opportunity to all people to be involved in the action. If you don't have money, you can pray. There is no excuse. If prayer is important, it's the most important thing. It's going to take God to do the ministry. Okay. So, why I am asking you this? Because every month, we lose financial partners. And every day, me and my wife pray, God send us more prayer partners and financial partners. Why? We want to get into Christian radio in America. We want to get into satellite to the Middle East. We have big project. We need a building. We need an office. We have 940 square feet that we live in and the office in our condo. I mean, money can be a blessing to us. But the most important thing, walk with God by faith and give your life to God. And ask God to use your life to reveal his love to one non-Christian person. It could be your neighbor. Take a free copy of that book and love one non-Christian person and invite your neighbor to church. Don't invite him to the first service. Maybe to the third service. Maybe they will have more sense of humor. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, Today we want to tell you, we love you, God. We receive your love. Thank you for Jesus Christ, sent from you to pay the penalty on our behalf for all the sins we committed and will ever commit. God, today we want to tell you, we truly love you. You are the most important person in our lives. We know that you exist. We know that you are real. God, we pray, help us to love you more, God. Help us to be genuine and wholeheartedly in love with you. God, you are worthy of all our emotions, all our thoughts, all our lives. God, help us to live for you and lose our lives for you. God, today we ask you to fill us with your Spirit and help us to love lost people. Help us not to ignore our neighbors. Help us to manifest your passionate love to them and invite them to church, God. God, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to love your enemies. Help us to love Muslims and take action for their salvation. God, today we believe that you blessed Calvary Chapel Chico with an awesome staff, wonderful pastor. Not only because you love us, God, but you have big plans, big, to use our lives as a blessing to multitudes of families, including multitudes of Muslims. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.